Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And I was just thinking how faithful God is, and how our understanding of faith is so us-based, that we somehow think that it's us living up to our conception of being faithful that keeps us from being able to accept God's nature, His character of faithfulness. Our conception is so limited of what faith is. When God commits and says, this is what I'm going to do, He does it. When we come to Him and ask Him to reveal Himself, He does it. When we ask Him to be what He is, He's already doing it. We put conditions and preconditions on our relationship with Him. And though He's patient with us, there is so much more that He wants to reveal of Himself. So Lord, right now we ask that You do just that. Whatever our needs are, each one of us comes to the table with a different question, a different need, and even a need for healing, whether it's in our a soulical wound or a physical wound. Lord, I ask right now that You provide the encouragement and the healing that each one of us needs, and the drawing. Lord, we acknowledge that so often we have the need because we need to be drawn to You. So we stop and we look at what the need is, and we turn to You to meet it. We commit time to You that You may meet our need. Lord, we don't want to go around the mountain over and over and over again. When You have given us the authority to say to the mountain, be thou removed. Teach us Your way. Our ways don't work. We know that. Our soulical reign over our lives has already failed. We have the stress and the anxiety to prove that, and the fear and the lack of direction and the wounds. We have so much proof that our way has failed. And yet, Lord, we resist allowing You to reveal Your path. So, Lord, we ask for a new hunger, a new need for You. Lord, we don't want to put off responding to You, to Your overtures, until You have to get drastic with us. We want to respond to You now. Because, Lord, there's nothing about You that we have to fear. There's nothing about You that is spiteful or revenge. Lord, we acknowledge that we don't understand, but we also acknowledge that You want us to, that You want to be understood. So, Lord, whatever it is for each one of us that we need, I just ask that You stir up a greater desire to have that need met. Lord, don't let us settle for being where we are. There's so much more in you right now. Don't let us settle for anything less. And we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in each one of our lives. And we take authority, we exercise the authority that we already have over any interference, whether it's something that, because of a wound, has a legal right to be in our lives. We take authority over that. You must sit in the corner now until Jesus releases you while God speaks to us. And if it's something that's been sent or that we have found ourselves in the way of that doesn't have a legal right to be here, I just send you away right now, and you must go where Jesus sends you. You are not welcome here. This is not your home. This is where Jesus lives. So, Lord, we exercise that authority, and you are teaching us how to do so. Lord, we're okay with making mistakes. That's how we learn. And we know that you are the author of the learning process, that you're certainly going to put us into situations that we can't handle so we can learn from you how to do so. It's exciting and scary at the same time, Lord, but you know what each one of us needs. You have made the soul for each one of us. So we know we can't compare what we're going through, but we can compare our experience in you. Teach us, Lord. We want to be taught. We want to know your ways. We want to hear your voice. We want to have the confidence that comes from hearing your voice clearly. Lord, there's an excitement that's building, and we want to be a part of whatever it is you're going to do, because we know it's going to be suiting our spirit being. It's not more of the same. It's not more work, even though there may be more work, but it's life. It's eternal life being expressed in a new and exciting way. Again, we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do, and we want to be a part of it. Thank you, Lord. So again, just thinking about the faithfulness of God and how we really, when we think of that, we still think in our own terms. We think about if and so. If I do this, then somebody else has to do that. When God's idea of faithfulness is, I am. When he says, I am, it is. It's done. When he says, I am faithful, there's no condition there. God is not waiting for you to do something to be faithful. He keeps his word because that's part of who he is. So if you're waiting for or struggling to meet some expectation, if you think that's what's keeping God from moving on your behalf, you need to talk to him. Now, it may be that that's all he's been working for. He's allowing you to have a need. He's allowing you to need him, not have the answers. Again, what are the three main ways that God gets our attention? Finances, health, and relationships. If there's something going on in your life that you feel out of control in one of those areas, it may just be God trying to get your attention. Now, there may also be practical reasons. Like if there's financial problems because you keep on quitting your jobs, that may be something God wants to talk to you about. Or if you're not taking care of your health, or if you're not taking care of your relationships. Regardless, God wants to talk to you. And isn't it better to talk to him about any of those areas before it's a big life-altering issue. This is one of the reasons we're, and we're moving into this, developing habits. Developing habits that structure our lives to know Him, to be with Him. He is our commanding officer. We receive our orders and our training. I mean, as a counselor, He's our guidance counselor. On a moment-by-moment basis. And yet we so often save Him for the really big things, and we try to take care of the little things. Instead, let's instead look at structuring our daily life to live as a spirit being here on this earth. Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in an earthbound body. Again, you are spirit. You're either dead in your spirit or you're alive in your spirit. If you've been born again, it was your spirit that was born again. Your spirit now communes with God as spirit. That spirit is one with God, not your soul, not your body. Let's not get confused here. Your soul has been trying to do its own thing for your entire life, and then some, because your parents lived out of their soul and their parents. So we have inherited strong soulical abilities. Unfortunately, those strong soulical abilities interfere with our soul's submission to our spirit. God's desire for you is that you would be one, spirit, soul, and body, one being for our time here on this earth. And when your soul tries to manage that or resist it, it is interfering with that alignment between your spirit, soul, and body. Now, sometimes your soul maintains its own control to protect itself. Because we all have wounds, and we all believe lies. And a lot of those are about ourselves, about God, and about others. And we resist change because change is scary. Change is hard. This is often why we cling to doctrines and won't even listen to other people's ideas, other people's views, because it's so scary. What if we were wrong all this time? Yeah, what if? Guess what? We're all wrong. We're all believing something that's wrong, because none of us has all the truth. Jesus does, and our spirit does, but our soul doesn't. Even just thinking about how wounded your soul is, your mind, your will, and emotions, have been living in prison. So even to think what the outside, the free world is like, we can imagine it, but until we experience it, we really don't know what it's like. Which is why we so often prefer the prison. But guess what? Now that we go to the prison bars and we wiggle on the gate, we find it's unlocked. We've been set free. We can leave now. But this is something we each have to do for ourselves. God is waiting on the other side. He's on the other side of that door, saying, come. But we have to do it ourselves. And He's always there. That's one of the part of his faithfulness. He's not waiting for a certain anointing or a certain prayer over you or a special need or a special experience. Your spirit is already one with him. So you are already receiving the download. He is already downloading into you every answer you need, every healing you need. It's all available in your spirit. Now, part of our challenge is to recognize that God knows what's best for us because he created us. He created your day. And let's not get caught up in the whole time thing. Well, I've made mistakes. Well, join the club. He doesn't care. That's not, certainly our mistakes are never going to be big enough to interfere with what he wants to do in our lives. Okay, let me say that again. You cannot make a big enough mistake to alter what God wants to do in your life. Again, you cannot make any mistakes that are so big that they interfere with God's desire for you. What those mistakes do is they teach us if we learn. And he will often let us fail in an area until we rely on him rather than our own strength. So we learn, and the first thing we learn is to turn to him at every crossroad, at every opportunity. And if we can build that in to our daily lifestyle, when there's a crisis, when there's a situation going on in our earthly circumstances or even our soulical circumstances, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That habit of turning to him, where we receive eternal life through our spirit, will carry us through. It'll be like a current carrying a boat to the other side of the shore. It will not be a surprise that even in the midst of the storm, we will be at peace because we've already developed a turning to him. When we look at Jesus, that's what he did. He didn't wait until he was being captured by soldiers to be crucified to all of a sudden call on his father. He had been calling on his father from day one. His father taught him. His father encouraged him. His father healed him. I mean, imagine the rejection that he received. And we're all rejected. There's two kinds of people, those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. It's a common characteristic of our lives that we are rejected. Our needs are not met. If your needs were all met without God, you wouldn't need him. And you wouldn't turn to him. But that's what God is looking for, a turning. It's not any really that much harder than that. That simple. Turn to him. Lord, whatever you want me to know, point me in that direction. Give me the right question. Reveal yourself in whatever way you choose. I'm willing to be convinced you're real. And let him take it from there. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you need to feel or experience. It may not come boom like that. But as you continue to pursue Him, that desire to know Him is the guarantee that you will know Him. If you have any desire to know Him or to have that peace that passes understanding or see Him, know Him better, if you are in any area not satisfied, that's from Him. That's from God. It wouldn't come from your enemies. It wouldn't come from the world system. The world system wants you dependent on it. Satan and his little buddies, they don't want you depending on God. They want you depending on him. So they wouldn't give you a desire for God. And if anything, they'd say, no, you don't need him, or he's tired of all the mistakes you've made, or you haven't lived up to what you promised, or you're making too many mistakes, whatever. They're going to do anything to keep you from God. And your soul is going to try to maintain control. It's always worked in the past. It's not going to want, your soul is not going to want to give up power over this little issue. So if you have any desire to know God, in that desire itself is the promise of its fulfillment. So think about, Lord, I ask you right now, if there's, for each one of us, if there's an area in our lives that we need to alter in order to develop the habit of knowing you on a daily basis, whether it's starting to do something, like spending more time with you, or stopping something, like canceling an involvement so we can spend more time with you. Lord, whatever it is, or even a habit we've got, Lord, if there's healing that needs to be done, or history that needs to be dealt with, or a belief system, a belief, a doctrine that needs to be dealt with, or even a grudge that needs to be freed, whatever it is, it's up to you, Lord. We want that, any hindrance, any speed bump, Lord, we give that to you right now. And if we need to know about it, fine. If we don't, that's fine too. We accept your changing us in whatever way you choose. But this comes back to acknowledging and experiencing his sovereignty. That he is the God. We are becoming one with him. But when we become one with him, you know, that doesn't change him. He is still complete because we are already one in him. There's nothing about you that is outside of God. There's nothing. Satan is not outside of God. The world system is not outside of God. Our soulical kingdom is not outside of God. But he has created our enemies for us to need to know God. When you look back at Adam and Eve, they didn't need God because he was always there. He was always there in that garden. And all their needs were supplied. They didn't need him. And because they didn't need him or anything, they didn't value him. They took him for granted. And you and I don't want to do that. There's a certain level of work that shows how much we value God in our relationship with him. But it bears fruit, the fruit of knowing him. And when we talk about his sovereignty, as we learn to depend on him, as he exercises his full rights over our lives and the process that we're going through, we experience his presence. We experience his mind, his heart. We begin to enjoy the process of letting him live through us. We receive first, and then it flows through us, even in unpleasant situations. Again, one of the goals of your soulical flesh, your soulical kingdom, is to maintain the walls around that kingdom, to maintain control. But as the Lord begins to exert his absolute control over our life, which we welcome, there will be conflict between the kingdom of God and our soul's kingdom. Now, this is how he starts to exert his absolute authority over our lives. And what very often may happen is we will find a conflict not only within our soul, but with others in our lives that are also thinking that they have authority over our lives. And this is where we start getting into the nitty-gritty of who's God, who is sovereign, who has the absolute right over our lives to meet our needs. One of the reasons we may avoid learning to know God for ourselves and be directly under his authority and lordship is that we are believing lies. We're believing lies about God's nature, about his love for us, about his desires, we're often afraid of what he may say to us or ask us to do. But remember, in your spirit, you do want to know him. You already know that what he's going to say to you and what he's going to ask you to do are good. They are fulfilling. They are peace-inducing. They are hope. They are meeting of all your needs. It is beyond anything your heart, your head, or your deciding can ever possibly grasp. Anything beyond your expectation is what he has for you. By grace, by that unconditional love, we know that we are already totally accepted, honored, and loved by him permanently, so that whatever he may say or ask of us, it is for our good, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring guidance, to bring rest to us and through us. Now, don't tell God what to do or how to do it, but ask, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want it. Now, it's often best to just leave it at that, because he is under no obligation to tell us when or how or what he's going to do in our lives. But, Lord, we ask you now, if there is any area in our life, if there is anyone or anything we turn to before we turn to you for guidance, direction, encouragement, correction, or even for friendship, acceptance, or recognition. Show us that, Lord, right now, that we may give it to you and that you would remind us whenever we do that to instead turn to you and to develop that habit of always turning to you first. And Lord, whatever structure we need to put into our lifestyle, into our day, help it to be, help us to recognize it, that it would be clear for us. So, Lord, we want to make it easier on ourselves if we possibly can, because we know there's going to be times when it's going to be hard. So we don't need to make it harder than it needs to be, Lord. So help us structure our lives to conform with being a living spirit on this earth. So thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. In the meantime, we'll be getting back together again the same time next week. In the meantime, have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving, and have a safe Thanksgiving. Thanks for tuning in. This is Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.